It's all about Jesus, amen? He works with us 6 days, and we rest with Him the seventh. But it's about living life with Jesus. And every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And if you're living life with Jesus on those 6 days, the seventh will be a joy. It's about living with Jesus day by day, every day. In fact, Jesus is the Sabbath. And there is no Sabbath apart from Jesus. To observe the various rituals of the Sabbath, the things we do and do not do, apart from Jesus, is empty and purposeless. It's about celebrating the relationship we've enjoyed with Him all week long. As I used to tell my children, don't go to church to get a blessing. Go to church to be a blessing. And how can we be a blessing? By testifying to the blessings that Jesus has given us all week long. Are we conscious of it? Are we aware of what those blessings are? That's one of the benefits of testimony. It doesn't have to be a public testimony. You can testify to each other in the Sabbath school class, can't you? I used to hear my father, who was a preacher before me, tell his congregation when I was growing up more than once, many times, if you can't come to church and Sabbath school, by all means come to Sabbath school. Of course, I think he thought if they got there for Sabbath school, they might stay for church. But Sabbath school is a sharing time, isn't it? And it is vital to our experience. And there is a weakness developing in Adventism about Sabbath school. People can get up in order to go to the work to meet the boss's requirements, but they can't get up on time to get to Sabbath school. Something wrong with that. I think many of our people do not understand what the Sabbath is all about. It's about meeting Jesus, resting in His love, renewing ourselves in the relationship, worshiping from the heart. It's all about Jesus as a part of our experience in Jesus. So let's review some of the things that we know about Jesus and the Sabbath. Someone asked me, well, why do you keep the Sabbath? I just tell them plainly, because I'm a Christian. They say, what do you mean? Well, I can go to church with Jesus on the Sabbath, but I've never found in Scripture where He went on Sunday. It is His habit to go to church on Sabbath. Shouldn't it be ours? Go to Luke 4. Luke, the fourth chapter, is one of those wonderful verses that the divine Spirit of God made sure was in here so that we would have a clear record of Jesus' example in terms of Sabbath keeping. It's a part of the, well, notice here in verse 15. Luke 4, verse 15. And He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. What day did they go to their synagogues? Sabbath day. He taught in their synagogues. And He came to Nazareth, verse 16, where He was brought up, and as His custom was. Give me a synonym. Well, give me another word for custom. Habit. What about our terminology today called lifestyle? As his lifestyle was, as his habit was, it was just a part of his experience in his life. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. To read what?
Scripture.
Scripture. That's why we go, isn't it? To be renewed in the promises of God and to be reminded of the blessings he is giving to us in that experience. And it goes on to tell what he read. Notice here, it was a messianic passage, Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. It says in verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because why? He hath anointed me to preach the gospel." What's that word mean? Good news to the poor. "He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives." Captives of who? The devil. That's right. Satan's captives. Deliverance in the name of Jesus. Amen. And he goes on to say, recovering of sight to the blind. Is it physical blindness that most of us have, or spiritual blindness? Spiritual. He is the light of the world that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And so he goes on to say, to set at liberty. You want freedom? You can have it in Jesus. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Well, what's that mean? To preach the year of God's acceptance. You know, one of the challenges of Greek is that its sentence structure is different than English. And if you know the language, then you know you have to reconstruct every sentence into English to make sense out of it. We would say, for instance, "I am going to the store," right? But in Greek it is, "To the store I am going." So it's a little bit different than our sentence structure. Nonetheless, it's plain. It's clear. The purpose of the Sabbath is to go to church with Jesus. And later on in the same chapter, notice verse 31. Sometimes we just read this one part. It says, "And came down to Capernaum." That's when right after the Nazarites tried to kill him, remember? Throw him off the cliff because of his sermon. It's dangerous to preach sometimes. In verse 31, "And came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them" on what days? On the Sabbath days. It was Jesus' way. And that's reason enough for me to go to church on Sabbath. How about you? Because I want to live with Jesus. I want Him to live with me. And it's for me to conform to His lifestyle and not for Him to conform to mine. It's a matter of living life with Jesus. Go back with me to Genesis, if you will. Here in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, we see where it all started for humanity. Now, you'll have people, I've heard people say, "Well, you know, this issue of the Sabbath, it's just for our planet because it fits our particular time frame of this time that the earth goes around, a certain length of time, and that's the length of a day. And so it's just for our planet." But who created this planet? Do you think He created it to fit His lifestyle or the planet's lifestyle? Who made it turn at a certain time? See, I believe the Sabbath is an eternal grace of God. And He created this world so that we could enjoy His day with Him. That's why the planet circles in front of the sun 24 hours each day. It's God's timetable. He set it up so that we could spend every day with Jesus. He works with us 6 days so we can rest with Him the seventh. It's all about life with Jesus. And as you read here in Genesis 1, notice verse 26. It's about the creation of humanity. It says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." What tremendous words those are. Let, the plural pronouns used 3 times. Let us, because God is a plural being, is that right? He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Jesus, the Word, is speaking at the creation, the will of the Father. And the Spirit of God is moving on the face of the waters, as you read there, the opening verses of Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And John tells us, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And without Him was not anything made that was made. So who made the Sabbath? Jesus created the Sabbath to begin with. And it tells us here, let us make man in our image after our likeness. One of the things that evolutionists cannot explain is why humanity is the only creature on earth it has language. Now by language, I mean the ability, whatever, whether it's German or English or Chinese, or the ability to communicate thoughts verbally so that we can share with each other the most inward thoughts. Why do we have that capacity? Because we're made in the image of God. And we are able, through that gift, to be able to rationally appreciate the things we discover about God. It's a matter here of knowing that Jesus, our Savior, made us in His image, in their likeness. And then it says, let them have, what's that next word? What's that word mean? Dominion. It's rulership. Authority over. Let them have dominion over what was that? Over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Both man and woman is made in God's image. In His likeness. Why? Why? Well, God has no shortage of real estate. You look up in the heavens, and the more science goes, the more billions of pieces of real estate they find out there that God has. Is that right? God has no shortage of real estate. He created this world for man. It was a birthright present for man, but He created mankind for Himself, because God is love. And if you are love, you need to have a relationship of love. That's why we were made in His image. Isn't it interesting that in Luke, the 3rd chapter, I think it's verse 38, the Scripture tells us that Adam was the son of whom? Of God. Made in the image of God. The likeness of God. God's child. And we're all His descendants. Amen? Everyone in this room, we're all made of one flesh, as Paul preached on Mars Hill. Doesn't matter what color our skin or our language or our nationality, as we call it. We're all one flesh in Christ. Made in His image, His likeness. Goes on down through the rest of the week. When guess verse 26 takes place, what day of the week is that by that time? You know, the 6th day starts in verse 24. A lot of time spent on the 6th day. Things that happen. God gives a diet down in verse 29 that still is scientifically being proven is the best diet in the world. Why? Because God loves His children. As I've said before, I had the privilege of spending 30 years of my 49 ministry. It'll be another year I'll have 50, and I got to, anyway, 30 years of my ministry in full-time evangelism. When I got to the health principle, I would tell people, this is a self-blessing which we receive by faith if we follow God's instructions. And I would remind them, I'd ask the mothers, I said, now, do you want your children to grow up happy and healthy? What mother would turn that down? Of course they do. Do you try to feed them good food? Well, of course every loving mother does, isn't that right? So why wouldn't God want to feed us good food? That's why He gave the instruction. He wants us to enjoy a wonderful quality of life, even as we grow older. I thank God for the health message of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It has blessed me. But never forget, to follow those instructions is a self-blessing. And not to follow it is a self-curse. We don't like to speak in those terms, but is it the truth? It is, isn't it? Well, nonetheless, notice as we get down to the very end of chapter 1, it says in verse 31, and God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was what? Very good. At the end of every other day, God just says it's good. But now it's very good. Literally in the Hebrew, it's good, good. It's wonderfully good. Why? Doubly good. Why? Because now the very purpose of the creation has had its fulfillment when God made man and woman in His own image. Now they were ready to do what He'd created us to do. Enter into that special relationship. Now, did God end His creation on the 6th day? Just checking your theology here. No, He ended it on the 7th day. The 7th day is part of His creative act. It goes on to say that in the very next verses. It's an unfortunate chapter division here. It ought to be after verse 3 in chapter 2. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were what? Finished. And all the hosts of them. And on the 7th day, God ended His work. What day did He end it on? The 7th day. God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day. And what's that next word? Sanctified. It means to make it holy. That's right. To make it holy. There's no other day in all of Scripture, no other day of the week that God has made holy except this day. And it's made holy because God rested on that day. Because, that's what it says, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So, what's the Bible telling us here? God worked so hard all week long creating the world that he collapsed into bed on the seventh to recover his energy. Is that right? What does it mean, rested? He stopped his usual activity. Yeah. Does that mean he was inactive?
No.
Just a different activity. Different activity. Same, a special activity. I like that. So it's about what God is setting an example of as he rests on the seventh day. You know, it doesn't say anything about Adam and Eve that day, but they had just been made. Is that right? They had just been made. The first complete 24-hour day of Adam and Eve's existence was a Sabbath day. It was entering into the celebration of God's creation, the God of love who had made them in his image, in his likeness, for the pleasure of a relationship with God. An intelligent relationship with God. A relationship which was to grow more precious, more wonderful, more meaningful, the better acquainted we became with our Creator. So God didn't stop with just one Sabbath, did he? In fact, it's God's lifestyle. He works with us 6 days, and we rest with him the seventh. It's living life with God. Because every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. The clearest verse in the Bible that explains why God rested is given by Jesus, who was there. He created it. And it's over here in Mark, the second chapter. Go over here, if you will, with me. And notice what Jesus says about the reason for the creation of the Sabbath. And man is right in the heart of this statement of Jesus. Notice here in verse 27, the last two verses in Mark 2. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for Jews. Made a mistake, did I? Not just Jews, man, every woman, made in the image of God. The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, that's the punchline word, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. For Jesus to claim to be Lord of the Sabbath is to be claimed to be the Creator of the Sabbath. And Jesus, in his ministry, insisted on being the example of Sabbath keeping. He would not conform to the misconceptions of his people and his society. He would not keep the Sabbath as they wanted him to keep the Sabbath, because he, Jesus, is Lord of the Sabbath. Why is this statement here? Because he had been out on a nature walk with the disciples that day. And they were walking through a cornfield, a wheat field, and and they had, or barley, one, and they were plucking these grains and shucking them between their hands and eating some of the grains. And the Pharisees said, "Ah, that's sin. They're threshing." And Jesus rebuked them and ends his statement with this wonderful revelation about why the Sabbath was made. It was made for man. Why? What greater gift could God give than his personal focus on us and we on him on a Sabbath day? To spend the whole day with him in an experience of love renewal. How about it, spouses? Do you enjoy a special day with your spouse? Are you willing to take time off from other activities just to spend that day with each other? Why would we do such a thing? Well, because we enjoy it. Isn't that right? We enjoy it. We enjoy the renewal time. We enjoy the communication. We just enjoy the sharing. God designed that in us. We learned it from him. It's about relationship. Two marvelous gifts come to us from the other side of sin. You see, the Sabbath was a part of God's perfect, sinless plan. Is that right? Sin had not entered the world yet when the first Sabbath took place. But those two gifts are both about love relationships. The Sabbath celebrates a love relationship with God. And marriage celebrates their love relationship of family. It's about love relationships. Always has been. And the renewal that we experience in Christ restores and strengthens and makes beautiful our human relationships. My wife is a wonderful Christian lady. I wish she were here so you could meet her. She spends time with Jesus. She loves him more than she loves me. And I'm so proud of her for that. Because she can love me so much better because she loves Jesus supremely. Making Jesus first, even ahead of family, makes family better than it could be any other way. It's a part of Christ's design. And the Sabbath was made for man. Not man for the Sabbath. And how was it made for man? By God choosing to rest so that we could rest with him. To come apart from the consuming activities of living in this world, we have not just the opportunity of resting with him, we have divine permission, divine command to rest with him. The Sabbath, above all the other commandments of the law of God, above all the other commands, is dependent on a love and faith relationship with God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's about making God first in your love. Is that right? Thou shalt not bow down thyself to graven images. Why? Because to do so is to abuse our conception of God. And there's many kinds of graven images besides the ones made out of stone and wood. Could be your job. Could be your wife or husband. Could be your children. It could be, you name it. The devil has something for everybody. But God is to be first. If He's not first, how can we enjoy Him as God? How can we truly worship if He's not first in our life? So, as we look at this concept of worship, go back with me to the Ten Commandments in Exodus, the 20th chapter. Let's look at that passage again, if we can. In the light of what we've seen already, Exodus 20 is, of course, the occasion when God, well, I should say when Christ came down and spoke the law of God, because He is the I Am, is that right? He is the one that created. He is the one through whom the Father gave the law, who verbalized it to the hearing of the people. He is the Word who became flesh. We beheld His glory. So reading here, verse 8, Exodus 20. Remember the Sabbath day to make it holy. Can you make anything holy? Can you make yourself holy? No, we can't even make ourselves holy. How can we make a day holy? You see, by faith, we accept that God has made this day holy. And it's by faith alone. Because when the sun comes up and the sun goes down, physically, it looks like any other day. It might even rain that day. It might snow. And physically, it looks like any other day. But it's not the same, because this is the day that God has made to rest with Him. He has said so, and I believe what He has said. How about you? Therefore, because I believe it, I enter into this experience with Him by faith. It's by faith alone. And I'm going to say something else. The Sabbath will never be any more enjoyable to you or anyone else than you have the faith to plan for it to be. That's the reason why it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's not that we're not supposed to, you know, we're supposed to avoid to forget it. You know, that's certainly included. But the key thing is that we are planning our activities with Jesus on that day all week long, because this is the special day with God, the day of renewal. So it says, remember the Sabbath day. If you haven't made any plans all week with God, don't be surprised it wasn't any fun when it comes. When I use the word fun, I'm really meaning there's not a joy in it. You have to plan activities with Jesus on the Sabbath for the Sabbath to be a joy. And He set the example of His activities on the Sabbath. He did take nature walks, didn't He? We've seen that already. Did He visit the sick on the Sabbath? 7 of Christ's greatest miracles occurred on the Sabbath. And He was criticized by the Pharisees for every one of them, because it said He was working. What was His response? My Father's working still, and I work. But the Sabbath was made for man. You remember that woman who was stooped over and came to church that Sabbath morning, and Jesus healed her so she could stand up, and they criticized Him for it. And Jesus rebuked him and said, which one of you don't loose your ox or your ass and take them out to water them on the Sabbath day? And should not this woman, this child of Abraham, be loosed from her infirmity on the Sabbath? Amen. Yes. The Sabbath was made for man. And we get special blessings that day by spending it with Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Spending time with Him. Well, we haven't finished the commandment yet, have we? It's so easy for me to get sidetracked. But it's really not sidetracked. It's about trying to gain insight into what this is about. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's a faith response. He made it holy. He sanctified it on the seventh day of creation week. He made it holy by His act of resting that day. And it goes on to say, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. He commanded us to work 6 days. And it may not be at our job, but you're going to be doing something on the 6 days. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. It's the Lord's day. There's only one day of the week defined in all of Scripture as the Lord's day. Only one. And it's the Sabbath day. It's not Sunday. That was a corruption of the Roman Church, to use the term Lord's Day for Sunday. They say they switched the Lord's Day from the seventh to the first day. They don't have that authority. Only God has that authority. And we can go to church and we can keep Sunday and do all those things that the Bible says we should do on the seventh day. But it's not doing it with Jesus. The only way you can do it with Jesus is to do it during the time that He has chosen to rest. That's why no other day will do. It has to be the day of His choosing, not man's choosing. So, in it thou shalt not do any work, it says, as you read on in verse 10. The seventh day is, what was that word again? Sabbath. Is that English or Hebrew? Hebrew. You speak the word Sabbath, you're saying a Hebrew word. Do you know you can speak Hebrew? This is a word which scholars call transliterizing. They are simply spelling the Hebrew word with English letters. In Hebrew, they pronounce it Shabbat. English, we say Sabbath. In Genesis 2, the same word is translated what? God rested. That's what it means. The seventh day is the rest of the Lord thy God. It's the Lord's day to rest. Was it just the seventh day of creation week? Or every seventh day? It's God's lifestyle. And I think it's an unfortunate place to leave the Hebrew word there. The seventh day is the rest of the Lord thy God. In it, thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, stranger. It's a family day with God. The whole family. My stepfather, who died about a year ago, was farm manager in Indiana Academy. He says that when they took and bought tractors, he was in his 90s when he died. When they bought tractors, the horses were left in the field. And they finally decided how to sell them, because there were some farmers around still using these workhorses, and so they did. And he saw this farmer not too long after they'd sold the horses to him and asked him how they were working. He said, you know, they work wonderfully, but when the Sabbath comes, the Saturday, they won't do a thing. Smarter than people. The seventh day is the Sabbath, the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. It's a day to rest with God, not for Him. We're not keeping the Sabbath for God. We're keeping the Sabbath with God. Because we have entered into a union with Him. We agreed the other morning that when we were baptized, we participated with Christ in His death for us, that we might be resurrected to live a new life with Him. And in Romans 7, verse 4, it says that this ceremony is like a marriage. It says that the old man was crucified. He was buried there in that watery grave in order that we might be married to him who has risen from the dead. It's a union with Christ. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before, including the Sabbath day, if we see Jesus at the heart of that experience. Why does he ask us not to work that day? So we can be free to enjoy him. Not sidetracked by other things. You know, when the boss tells you, you know, you can take the 4th of July off. And you say, oh, no, I have to take that. Is that how we react? We say, great, I have another family day with God. God thinks we don't have enough family days just once in a while through the year. So he asks us to rest with him every seventh day. It's a day for the whole family to enjoy him. And enjoying him, learning to love him, and in loving him, learning to enjoy him, it just gets better. As we enter into this experience of life with God. So, he goes on to say in verse 11, it takes us right back to creation, for in 6 days the Lord made, that means created, heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore, that's the punchline word, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. He made it holy. Why? Because he is holy. And he is our Sabbath. And there is no Sabbath apart from him. I'm running out of time, but I haven't run out of verses yet. And as you can see here, it's a wonderful experience. In fact, you remember how Jesus said in Matthew 11, the last verses there in that chapter, he says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. There is no rest apart from Jesus. First of all, rest from sin. Is that the heaviest burden we bear? It is. Rest from sin. Rest from the burdens of life. Because whatever our burdens are, if we trust Jesus with that burden, it's light. Let's go back. Let's read it. Let's take the time to look here at Matthew 11 and verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my what? That's marriage with Christ. That's sharing life with Jesus. That's union with him. If you have two oxen that are yoked together, they're pulling the plow of life together. Is that right? And there's usually one of them that works harder than the other. And it's the job of the person driving the oxen to make sure that the slack oxen gets goaded a little bit to do his share. I'm the slack oxen. Jesus has to goad me sometimes. But he bears the burdens of my life. He makes it a joy to live no matter what the problems are. Because you know what? They're not my problems. They're his problems. I've turned it over to him. And whatever the problems are with Jesus, it's going to get better. You agree with that? It's going to get better. We're going to make it together. So it goes on to say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. He'd have to be willing to be yoked with me. How about you? Has to be meek to be willing to be yoked with a person with a sinful nature like me. He wants to be yoked with each of us. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find what? Rest. Sabbath rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. Because he's omnipotent. He's all powerful. He is able to do more and above what we can ask or think. So turn your life over to Jesus every morning. Spend time with him in renewal. And enjoy the day with him. And when the problems come up, trust him with the problems. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men how? Liberally. He's present with us. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. So he's not just with us on the Sabbath. He works with us 6 days so that we can rest with him and celebrate this joy of life with Jesus on the Sabbath. It gets sweeter and sweeter the more we learn to trust him, to surrender our life to him, the better it gets. So it's a key to Sabbath is having Jesus. And of course, Isaiah 58, you all know what that says, right? It's really a passage of scripture there in verses 13 and 14 where the Bible's contrast our activities and our desires and our thoughts and our words with Jesus' activities and his thoughts and his words. What are we entering into and immersing ourselves in on the Sabbath? We are immersing ourselves anew in Jesus. We are learning to love him all over again. And by his grace in the Sabbath school class and in the sermon on Sabbath, we will be reminded all over again that God is love. And he loves you. And he loves me. And it's just a wonderful thing. Amen? It's a wonderful thing with him to live life with him every day. So what kind of things would we do on the Sabbath? What kind of things would we not do? When I talk about that in my evangelistic meetings, my sermon title is A Holiday with God. It's a day we take off just to enjoy him. To renew the love relationship. And I sometimes ask people, and I'm going to ask you this morning, how many of you ever gotten a letter from Queen Elizabeth? I've been disappointed over and over again. Only once did someone raise their hand in my entire life asking that question. I haven't gotten one either. But supposing you got a letter from Queen Elizabeth, and in this letter, she tells you she wants to come to the United States and spend the 4th of July with you. What is it about this American dream of freedom that caused us to break away from the British monarchy? So far as I know, she's never done this. But supposing you got that letter, she wants to come to your house and spend that day with you. Would you turn it down? You might be tempted, but I got to remind you, you would be more privileged than any other American. Even when she comes to visit the President of the United States, she doesn't spend the time with him in the White House. She's put up in some hotel or something like that. But Queen Elizabeth's coming to your house. Spend the 4th of July with you. What kind of preparations would you make? The ladies usually tell me the first thing they think about is getting the house clean, right? Or what kind of food does she like to eat? So what kind of preparations would you make? Would you try to prepare the food ahead of time? Or are you going to slave over the food while your husband and kids enjoy Queen Elizabeth on this day? You would probably prepare things ahead of time, wouldn't you? So that you could be free to enjoy her that day. Now you can see where I'm going with the illustration, can't you? What kind of preparation would you make for a person on earth that you consider a person of importance that's coming to your home? It might just be your children. Do you consider them persons of importance? I do. But you want to make preparations so that you can spend that time with them to enjoy them and them to enjoy you. You think about that illustration. And you can probably decide on every issue that might come up what you should do or not do on the Sabbath. Because it's all about enjoying God and entering into His rest with Him on that day. God loves you. He's coming to your house on the Sabbath to spend that day with you and you with Him. And every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Let us pray. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for you, Father, for being the kind of God that would love us so much and cherish the relationship with us so much that you would give your only begotten Son to die in our place in order to restore the lost relationship of love. Thank you. Oh, how we praise you for being that kind of a God. Help us by faith to seek this relationship as nothing else in life, and to enjoy you every day and to be renewed with you on your Sabbath, every Sabbath. Everyone that would like that with Jesus, will you raise your hand with me? Father, thank you for inviting us into your Sabbath and into life with you every day. We ask it in the name of the one who died for us for that purpose. Jesus' name. Amen.